Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, this is Marek Larwood.
I'm Marek Larwood, this is David Reed.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Are we well?
That was perfect synchronicity.
It was. There was a duality to our introduction, like a very pedestrianly structured film.
It was like a picture of Dorian Gray.
Which for you?
I was the monster upstairs.
The picture in the attic?
Yes.
I've not seen the movie version of that.
I've not. I've read the book, though. Which one are you, listeners? The ugly monster or the dashing young socialite?
Who's dead inside.
Yeah. Well, talking about being dead inside...
I
feel like my blood's gone grey this week.
Oh, why?
I'm just exhausted.
Tiring time of year?
Maybe it's just the beginnings of old age.
Wow.
But
are you introducing a theme for the episode, or are you just generally sad?
Oh, I don't know what it is. If only someone could help me. Please, someone, send me some antidepressants.
Wow. So, the film you saw this week really cheered you up, did it?
Do you want to start with your film?
Sure, yeah. I went to see... I think it's been out for some time, although it sort of came out without me noticing, but... I thought, for the sake of being a completist sense, I went to see Monsters University, the prequel to Monsters, Inc. by the good people at Pixar.
So they've done... How many films have they done about these monsters?
Only two. That's the only two.
You can't really say you're being a completist then if there's only two films.
No, but Pixar completist, I mean, because Pixar don't produce a huge number of films, although they're sort of shitting them out a bit now.
Okay, je comprends.
Yeah, so Monsters University, it follows Mike Wachowski and Sully Sullivan as they, when they first went to university to learn how to scare, and where they first met each other.
Oh, do they know each other in Monsters, Inc.?
In Monsters, Inc., they already know each other. They are work colleagues.
Oh.
So, well, to recap on what Monsters, Inc. was about, they work at the scare factory where the main energy... for the monster world is the screams of children that then charge batteries. It's like electricity. So the scarers go through magical doors into the... when you open them, they go into the closet of a child somewhere in the human world.
Or underneath the bed.
No, they always go into the closet. They then creep under the bed. But then they scare the kids, get a scream, generate electricity, come back through the door. But then on this particular day, a child comes through into the monster world.
I've seen it a long time ago. Yeah. I did enjoy it, though.
Yeah. No, it's very, very creative, actually. And this is sort of my slight problem with Monsters University, is all of the creativity, all of the invention was done by the previous film. So this is exactly the same world, and they've just sort of done a off-the-peg university-based sort of sports movie, you know, where
it's... So is it just... When did you go and watch it?
This morning.
With loads of families of kids.
Yeah. Although that didn't bother me at all, actually. It was sort of quite fun. They weren't, you know, terrible kids, but it was all, you know, just mums and kids this morning. But
any nice ones?
Some lovely mums.
I'm actually older than quite a lot of mums now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you can be a mum legally, obviously, at 16.
Yeah, so I'm, yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit. Are you You was older than two mums now.
I could be a grandmum.
You could be. But a lot of the mums,
it's when you see the average mum walking about, you think, actually, or you see young people with children.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm older than a lot of these people with the fresh new ones.
What are they called,
the fresh new ones?
Babies.
Yeah.
I once saw a load of mums on a jog together, and I could tell they were mums because all of them, they each had a pram that they were pushing whilst jogging.
And we went sick down their front.
That's right. But anyway, it was, you know, I didn't go for the mums, I went for the film. Have you seen a lot of Pixar? Do you like them?
Pixar is. It's just Toy Story, isn't it?
Well, Toy Story, Bugs Life, The Incredibles, Monsters, Inc.
Yes, I've seen all of those.
Yeah, Cars, I haven't seen
yet. I haven't seen Cars.
And I'm sort of, you know, putting it off. But they've now done Cars 2 and now Planes, which is set above the Cars world.
I enjoyed Toy Story and I enjoyed, I think I enjoyed Ants better more than Bugs Life. I can't remember which one's better, Bugs Life or Ants?
I have a real soft spot. Bot for Bugs Life, so I would say Bugs Life every time. Ants is the one with Woody Allen and Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, where they're brown ants.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas they're blue and.
But let's talk about this film.
All right. Well, I'd say it's interesting. It's fun, you know. It's not, as I say, it. Pixar are fantastic at writing screenplays. They just are. They don't miss a beat.
Mm.
And there's something about the focus and discipline of it being an animation that means that they can't afford to just go start doing it when the script isn't perfect, I guess. That's, you know, I guess. Or they just, you know, they really care about good scripts. So the script is beat perfect structurally. It's just not quite funny enough or creative enough, as I say. It does a lot of clichés, this one, which they've steered clear of in the past.
Mm.
You know, for me, it's starting to create a sort of second tier of Pixar films, which are sort of Sunday afternoon films, rather than real event films that they used to do. They used to do the best of the best. But Brave I saw recently as well, and that's a real just sort of like, it's fine, it's, you know, watchable, it's got some nice moments, it's not a classic.
Has this got the same budget as the last Monsters film?
I have no idea, but I assume so.
I'm going to find out now.
Do.
It takes a lot of years to do these Monsters
things. BoxOfficeMojo.com.
Is that what you go for?
If any of our listeners don't know, Box Office Mojo is a website where you can go and you can have a look at the budgets and the takings internationally in different markets of movies. You have to be sort of into that kind of thing, but it is quite interesting.
I'm into it. I've logged on now. Here's some statistics coming right at you. So, for Monsters, Inc., the first film...
Yeah.
Only 115 million.
Oh, that's a snip at 115 million, isn't it?
289 million lifetime gross.
Okay, so it's done quite well.
So, we thought this was going to be cheaper, didn't we, because it wasn't as good.
Well, it's a sequel, I assume they'd go to, but...
Just use the same pictures.
But then in big... budget action films, they go more expensive for the sequel to try and make even more back.
But if it's CGI and you've already designed all the monsters...
Well, no, this is the thing, you know, because it's going back in time. There's all of the other students at the university are new monsters. Although Steve Buscemi's monster's in it again.
But if you have made all that money,
yeah.
You probably bought some equipment. I don't know how they've managed... They spent 200 million, 85 million more on it, but already it's made... 265 million.
Well, you have to factor into that budget marketing, presumably, which will be a large part of it.
Welcome to our new podcast. The maths and the numbers.
Financial fandango. Fiscal fandango.
Fiscal film fandango.
Is that what
you'll
probably
do? Get more listeners.
You want to do a sort of money ball of films, money reel.
All I want to do is say films' budgets and their final things and work out the difference. That's all it's going to be. Pure, cold, hard numbers. None of this chatting. Just nonsense that surrounds it. So, I can't believe it cost 115 million.
It's quite amazing, isn't it? I mean, but that shows... The first one, anyway, 115, wasn't it?
Mm.
But 200 million to plough into it. But it's a sequel, you know. They've apparently gone big on it. Like, you know, a Pirates of the Caribbean 2 or whatever. But it's a lesser film. It isn't not good, you know. I'd probably give it, I don't know, six Davids, probably.
Six Davids.
Mm.
Talking of animation, so I got followed by this thing on Twitter called Short Film Sunday today.
Right. Sunday with an E, or...?
No, it's called Short Film Sunday with a... Well, like a day, not right, the
not,
thing.
Not like an ice cream.
And if you go to a website called Short Film Sunday, they pick out sort of unheard of short films they like.
Oh, cool.
And you can watch them. There's an animation called The Street I watched this morning, which was made entirely on like painting on glass and stuff from 1976. It was great. This website, if you go to shortfilmsunday.wordpress.com, they've got a list of all the short films that they've selected, and there's one every week. So if you fancy just a quick odd short film, why not click in there and you see something a bit blooming different for a change?
That's good. I'll look that up. Well, shall we? Let's put that on our Facebook page so people can find it.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Cool. Cool. So, just to round up on Monsters University, would you go and see it? Or have you resigned Pixar films to sort of being kids' things now?
I do like them, but it feels that I will have to watch these things at Christmas at some point with my niece and nephew.
I think it'd be a good Christmas watch, actually.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. I think it's a TV watch. Mm. I do. I think there are 3D showings of it as well, and I just don't see the point.
I don't like going to cinema when there's lots of kids because of the behaviour issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So any kids' films, I like to watch at home. If it's a 15, I feel pleased. So I think there's going to be better behaviour in the cinema in general.
Mm, not always.
Yeah, you're right, actually. You're right. During the daytime, you know you're going to get the cinema to yourself. I went to cinema.
Yeah, what did you go see?
I saw Ron Howard's latest blockbuster, a sports movie called Rush. It's about racing cars. It's about Formula One. It's about the epic legendary rivalry between British Grand Prix driver James Hunt and his Austrian rival, Niki Lauda.
Oh, yeah.
James Hunt is played by that Australian bloke, Chris Hemsworth.
Thor?
Yes, Thor.
Yeah.
He's basically Thor with his hair combed out with an English accent.
Thor's got an English accent. He seems to only do English people these days.
Yeah, it's that similar sort of deep-voiced English accent.
Does he say thou knave a lot?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
But he's very well mannered, but a bit saucy, James Hunt. I sort of missed this era of Grand Prix because
the 80s?
No, 70s.
Oh, okay.
So I remember the Mansell sort of Senna Prost.
Yeah, I remember those
when it was big on British TV. But it's always been big around the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Niki Lauda's played by Daniel Brühl, I think it's pronounced.
Who is he?
You will recognise him. He played in the Inglourious Basterds. He was the sniper, the German sniper boy who was famous for killing all those people
in the
bell tower.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah, he is brilliant in this.
You're sort of spoilt little kid, really, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was really well played, actually, in that. You didn't know whether he would fall the side of doing the right thing or he would just be a bit...
Yeah.
Turn into a complete arsehole. Yeah.
This is my first Oscar tip. He'll be up for Best Actor for this.
You think?
Yeah.
Best Actor for is it? Do they share the billing?
Yeah,
then?
Yes, I think it's shared. Okay, yeah. So he'll be up for Best Actor
because he's got one of those over Thor's shoulders trying to get in the poster. He's just trying to get his face seen, and it's just a massive.
A lot of the posters,
Chris
is just,
Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Isn't
I think because Chris Hemsworth is obviously trying to get that the female vote in, but it's more about the more interesting story for me is Daniel Brühl and Niki Lauda's story. I think he's more he's an interesting, engaging character. I listened to an interview they did on another podcast. Yes, another podcast. It was on some iTunes thing of Ron Howard talking with Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl at HMV in London.
Right.
And talking about how, which is quite interesting to listen to, how Niki Lauda's still alive, but James Hunt died of a heart attack when he was 45. So Chris Hemsworth couldn't talk to James Hunt, obviously, about the film. But Daniel Brühl was able to phone Niki Lauda and go and meet him. And Niki Lauda's a notoriously difficult character, but one of the most blunt people you could ever meet. And he just says exactly what he thinks. There are no airs and graces whatsoever. And he was quite unpopular at the time because he was so sort of blunt. Whereas James Hunt was the opposite, good-looking, sort of popular, party-going, drinking, sort of playboy, who was very popular with the women. So there's two complete... Oh, and Niki Lauda was very organised, very sort of straight-talking, prepared his car like a machine, sort of more like the Michael Schumacher mould of a racing driver, as opposed to... I think there aren't many people like James Hunt anymore because you can't afford to be
this
that
sounds
flamboyant.
Like the same film as Monsters University.
Oh, really?
Where Mike Wachowski, played by Billy Crystal, is the one who's always dreamed of being a scarer and has done all of the homework and works really, really hard.
Yeah.
And then James Sully Sullivan is the one whose dad was in it, and he's just like, I've got it naturally, it's in my bones, I don't need to do any work. And he does it, goes by on charisma.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good double bill.
It was that classic thing of, like, you know, a natural versus the hard worker.
Yeah. Is that a true dichotomy, do we think, in real life? Or has that sort of been fabricated by cinema?
I think there is a lot of elements in truth with these two, actually.
Where people just naturally couldn't do it and have always been able to do it.
I think so. I think you couldn't... The nature of it now is more and more difficult. If you see a lot of the racing drivers now are so boring in interviews.
Yeah.
And I think a lot, for me, the glamour is gone.
Well, almost they've become such big business and the... And how you train to be good has gotten so efficient that actually the charismatic naturals have been edged out of the game. I don't think there's a footballer who doesn't, you know, who... I don't think a footballer could get there who doesn't work incredibly hard anymore, just couldn't.
There's no room for it. I mean, you hear Lewis Hamilton being interviewed, I find him self-obsessed and quite dull.
Yeah, but maybe you have to be.
Yeah, exactly. So this... film, it's based on a true story. I don't know how accurate it was. They said they consulted lots of different people and tried to come up with a fairly story that really reflects what happened.
Okay.
I went with my friend Dave McNeil, who's also appeared in the podcast and in many of my films. He loved this film.
He brought in Wild Geese.
Yeah,
you remember?
He said it was one of the best films he's seen this year. I was a bit less enamoured of it.
Okay.
Apparently, I went for my customary toilet break. I missed the... when I went for a wee, I always miss important bits.
Yeah.
I came back and I said, I missed a bit after... Everyone knows the story. Niki Lauda, essentially... It's not really a spoiler because...
It's history.
Yeah. He was in a horrendous car crash and came back from that.
Right.
And they showed quite graphic images of that, which was quite moving. But I missed that bit because I went for a wee.
So you missed the bit where sort of the rug is pulled out from under you and...
Yes,
you
a
know,
bit. So
the bit they've been building up to.
Yeah, Dave said... No, I did see certain bits. I feel like I'm doing spoilers now.
I missed a bit in Prometheus where the alien head explodes.
Oh, okay.
From going for a wee.
Yeah. I missed so much, and I missed Thingy's appearance. Who's that camp sort of singing? John Barrowman's appearance.
Gandalf.
John Barrowman's appearance in some film, war film.
Oh, his cameo. Yes, he was in Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, I missed that from a wee break because it's literally 2 minutes, isn't it?
My God.
Yeah, the things I've missed in life. If only I could wet myself. Anyway, the look of it's great. It looks 70s. It's shot really, really well. The thing that's missing for me is I think the dialogue feels quite stilted in some of the films, especially with Chris Hemsworth. Some of the scenes aren't really engaging, and I found a little bit cringy and not great acting. The racing bit's great, but at the back of my mind, one of the greatest films of recent years, which is a documentary, Senna, which I saw without any of the hype, it has got some of the most spine-chilling moments.
Yeah, well, that was going to be my next question, because Senna is so good, and listeners, if you've not seen it, track it down, please. You won't regret it. But it sounds like the story is not only about cars, but even the rivalry thing is quite similar in Senna. It sounds like... So, again, it's like, why would you fictionalise this when... The real thing was done so well, you're not going to get close to how moving it is.
That's what I felt, really. I felt that it was a narrative version of Senna, and done really well. I think Ron Howard's done a really good job.
But if it's too similar, you're not going to be as moving.
The problem for me was, I was just thinking of Senna, and that possibly one of the most moving moments in film, when you follow Senna's car, and they follow the in-camera footage of him before he dies.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like that, anything. And it still makes my the hair stand up in my arms thinking about it. That was, for me, one of the most moving moments in film. And this didn't really do... just thought there was something missing slightly. Something less... It wasn't edgy enough.
Well, that's Ron Howard, isn't it?
There wasn't enough drama.
I think Ron
Howard's
a very good director, but he makes a Ron Howard film, doesn't he? I mean, like Spielberg in that regard, they are more palatable than uncomfortable.
I definitely think it is. It does feel... there's no unpalatable scenes, really. Mm. There are. It does include some sex themes, which I thought was quite odd for Ron Howard.
Mm.
And even those aren't really, like... It's not...
Well, he's middle-aged now. He might be getting a bit frustrated.
Yeah.
He might be getting a touch of the Verhovens.
Of course. He's not... He's a pair of safe hands. He's never going to give you anything that...
No.
Really... Oh, well, I haven't spent anything that really excites me or feels dangerous. But he does a good film. It looks great. The 70s look is brilliant. The way the shots are beautiful. The way it feels like you're in the 70s. They capture the atmosphere. So many things are done really, really well in this film.
How many Merricks?
I give it 7.
Ah, okay.
And I think some people... If you like cars, you should bear in mind that I don't like cars. I'm not remotely interested.
No, I find Formula One very boring.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have to like cars to like Formula One because the car is doing the winning.
Yeah.
You can put the best driver in the world in a slightly less good car and they won't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of be obsessed with fin angles and, you know, tyre types and stuff.
I was more interested in Niki Lauda's story than James Hunt's story.
I've not heard of James Hunt, I have to admit.
Oh, he used to do the commentary with Murray Walker.
Oh, right, okay,
He's got the most wonderful voice. He comes from a rich sort of background. It's a really deep, sort of deep-voiced English aristocratic voice.
Can you do it for us now?
I can't do him. He's got the perfect English voice.
Has Chris Hemsworth studied his commentary, do you think?
I think he did, but they said they changed it because... In this other podcast, listening to it, because his voice was so unusual now and so clipped and so of that time,
yeah,
it seemed that when he copied his voice exactly, it felt like unrealistic. Right. So they had to modernise it, and they listened to the voice of James Hunt's son, and based on that voice, a sort of more modern voice. I don't know if Chris Hemsworth has the charisma to pull off James Hunt.
Interesting.
And there were a few really stilted scenes where I don't think there was enough drama, like half scenes. It's
a heartbreaking moment, isn't it? When there's a sort of a star, especially one who's fairly new, that you've enjoyed in everything they've done, and suddenly in a film you see their limitations, if they've been pushed beyond what they're actually brilliant at.
He's very good, but I would rather see a Niki Lauda story than the James Hunt story. But I think James Hunt had a fascinating story to tell. Who knows? I think it's going to do very well, this film, and it's nice to see a blockbuster that's a bit different as well.
Yeah.
But saying that, once you watch this, and go, it's a really good film. It's a good, enjoyable. I think it left me wanting a little bit, but it just reminded me of Senna, which is an astounding documentary.
Do you wish you'd gone to see Diana instead?
I'm tempted to still go and see Diana.
So am I, just for the sort of car crash.
I read
the trailer.
One-star reviews and it just seems awful.
Oh my God.
But for a story, Diana, that is so public, they've almost like rewritten history. Like apparently Dodie Fayed's written out of Diana and it's all about that. It concentrates more on the surgeon, her relationship with him. And makes Dodie Fayed an afterthought. I've not seen, so I can't comment.
I assumed it was Dodie Fayed who was the love interest.
No, it's the surgeon.
Is it really?
Yeah.
God.
It's so... I don't know. I think
she looks quite like her. But I think Buddy looks more like Princess
Diana. If Buddy
Diana.
Was playing Diana, yeah. I would definitely go and see that. In fact, I think for our film Fandango Live, that's what you should do.
Well, I will... Maybe.
Mate, I'm not promising that. It's a horror special.
Well, let's talk about
this. A horror movie version of Body as Princess Diana. Actually, I saw, I tell you, slight segue, or tangent rather, I saw The 5 Year Engagement the other day by chance. Have you seen that film?
No.
It's a Judd Apatow film with Jason Segel.
I've heard really good things about
it. Emily Blunt. Really, really fun. Yeah, really good. I sort of am in love with Emily Blunt now and like everything she's in. Yeah, I think she's excellent. But she's specifically good in romantic things because she's just got such a sort of natural performance to her. You just believe her and stuff.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is that they meet at a costume party where he's dressed as a rabbit and she's... he's dressed as Super Rabbit. It's a, come as a made-up superhero yeah. party. He's dressed as Super Rabbit and she's dressed as Princess Diana.
Oh, did she look like Princess Diana?
A little bit. A little bit.
Talking about... let's plug Film Fandango Live first.
All right. We are doing our second ever live show here in good old London town.
Well, it's not even a podcast, is it? It's just going to be a big...
It's going to be a live show and there's a quiz and you can win prizes. Come along with your friends. There'll be drinks galore and we will show short films that we've made as part of the quiz. And that is going to be on the 29th of October.
A Tuesday, the best night for going out in the week, right?
Absolutely. You've got through Monday and you can't face the rest of the week. So you just go, screw it, I'm going to get hammered tonight.
Yeah.
I don't care what my boss says. I'm going to win some DVDs.
We're going to have lots of DVDs and prizes you can win. And it's going to be a horror-based film, short film quiz type thing that we're in the process of making at the moment.
So if you'd like to get tickets for that, then you can go to facebook.com/filmfandango and follow the link from there.
Also, if you would like to email us,
then do so. dearfilmfandango@gmail.com or you can tweet us @filmfandango.
Then do so.
Then do so.
Also, you can write on our Facebook wall.
Yes.
Then do so.
Do so.
@film.
It's not @. Facebook.com/filmfandango. I've said that one already.
There are too many things, aren't
there? Too many things.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Someone has Facebook page dust.
What do they want?
It's Edward James.
Hello, Edward James. I hope it's Edward James Olmos from Blade Runner fame.
He doesn't look like it. He looks. His, I can see his picture.
Has he got a heavily scarred face? And does he leave behind little matchstick men with the retchings everywhere?
No, he's got a picture.
Different guy. It's a different guy.
He's from Milton Keynes.
Okay.
Edward James. Hi, guys and gals. I don't know who he's talking about that there. Love the podcast. Don't all our 12 listeners? I have a question. What is your favourite film that has a twist in it? Sixth Sense, anyone? Mine is either Midnight Sting, James Wood and Lou Gossett Jr., or Hopscotch, Walter Matthau. What's yours?
Well, this is the thing. I've remembered my favourite twist in a film, and I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the film. I remember watching it on TV and think it was brilliant. So if I tell you the twist, I don't know if that counts as a spoiler, because I haven't told you what film it's in.
Oliver Twist.
That's the one, Oliver Twist. It's got a twist in it. Basically, it's a man who wakes up from a car crash, and he's lost his memory. And he moved back in with his wife, and then he starts to suspect his wife's having an affair, and he keeps having these dreams of this abandoned ferry on the shore somewhere.
I've seen this film.
What's it called? Because he then thinks that somebody's trying to kill him. Anyway, he tries to track down the murderer and eventually goes to the
who is the actor in it?
I can't remember. That's the thing. I can't even look it up. He tracks the ferry down and goes into it. And in his memories, it keeps going through these corridors to this room with a sort of water tank in it. And he goes to the water tank and he opens it and it's him in the tank. And
really?
It turns out...
He's a clone.
No, it turns out that after the car accident... he was given facial reconstructive surgery to look like the wife's husband, because he is actually the killer, and he killed himself. Great twist!
That is incredible.
So because he got amnesia after the car crash, he has been the guy he's been tracking down the whole time.
I think it's called Don't Know About You.
Yeah, definitely. Look it up. Look it up on Box Office Mojo. Don't Know About You. No, because he dumped the body in a vat of chemicals that he found in this thing, but it turned out the chemical, formaldehyde, it's a preservative.
Uh-oh. I want to watch that film, but you've ruined it for me.
Yeah, sorry.
The only one I can think of, off the top of my head, I mean, as a twist, is also a Walter Matthau film.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed Hopscotch. This is the first and far superior version of A Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Is there a twist at the end? Because I've seen that. I really liked it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the twist. I'll have to watch it again. I don't remember.
How he arrests him.
No, I don't think.
I don't really think it's a twist. I think it's a little bit of a twist.
I want to see it again now, though. You've made me.
It's not really a twist. It's a little bit of a twist. I don't know.
It's a good film, though.
Write down your bloody twist.
Take your Pelham 1-2-3. If you'd like to tell us we're wrong, or pick your favourite twist, then stick it on our Facebook page, and we'll share them with people next week in our 100th episode.
There's another Facebook message here
from Jacob Degler or Degler. What do we think?
Degler.
Okay. Hi there. I just heard the anecdote about a movie location in a horror film, which was familiar so the person couldn't concentrate on the gore. I feel the need to tell my little anecdote, which is this. I studied in Krakow, Poland, at the art school. I knew some people from other departments, and as you know, Schindler's List was filmed in Krakow. They hired extras there. So when I once watched a film on TV, and there is a scene where the Nazis come in a hospital and shoot the patients in the beds, one of the Nazis I recognised as a fellow student of mine. There was nothing else to do than laugh at this tragic, tragic scene. Thanks, and keep up the cool podcast. Jacob.
I did Jacob as an Australian trying to do a Cockney accent.
I like that, yeah. Jacob Degler, the only person who's ever laughed at Schindler's List.
That's right.
That's congratulations.
Right. Congratulations. That must be weird, though, when you go, oh, I haven't seen him in a while.
Or maybe it was just that his dad was a Nazi.
Maybe.
It's a documentary, right? Schindler's List?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a good film I'd like to recommend as well this
week.
What's
that?
Well, I did it for ages. You know when you get love film and you don't watch the DVDs? And
months. Yeah.
I've had this film since April and not watched it because I thought it's a French film called Point Blank. And only a couple of weeks before, I'd watched the Lee Marvin. Is it Lee Marvin? I can't remember his name. The American Point Blank of the 60s, which is quite famous.
Right.
So I thought it was a rubbish French remake of it. And I thought, I can't watch that until I forget about the previous one. It's a completely different film. It's a French film. I love French films. It's a great French fast-paced thriller about a nurse who gets caught up in... accidentally gets caught up in a crime and him and his girlfriend get caught up in it. If you like a good old, exciting action film which has got a bit more to it, find Point Blank and blooming watch it, all right?
I think the French are unfairly maligned for doing sort of black and white films with cigarettes and people saying nothing and looking off into the distance. They do really good thrillers.
Mm.
Really good. I mean, lest we forget, Luc Besson is French.
Yes, may we? And also, what's his name? Rat Face.
Gerard Depardieu.
No, that's Pig Face.
Oh, right. Who's Rat Face?
The one from Maureen.
Oh, yes, him.
Vincent Cassel.
Vincent Cassel.
Anyway, enough about that. We've talked enough, haven't we, do you
think? I think that's films. We'll be back next week for our 100th episode.
Any questions, please send them in. And remember,
keep watching the films.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.